one moment a gift most humans never receive in a lifetime.
Stand by for action.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
What I do on this show doesn't matter. My legacy is cemented. I'm good with the listeners. They adore me. And what I say doesn't matter.
Jeff Lutz.
All you do is make it about you. During the show, I want to be available and accessible.
Excellent. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with me. Max Power, producing engineering, 869-1240. The phone number, yet another scorcher. You can water whenever you want out where you live, can't you?
Not really, because, the well dries up. Everything, has its limits. So we got to be careful. We got to conserve. We got to do our best not to explode with the use of water.
It's too bad. We need rain. We got any rain?
Yeah, it's supposed to get rain Friday into Saturday, Saturday into Sunday. So,
well, that would be just awesome. I would be so happy.
A couple nights of rain, hopefully, on the horizon.
Lots of rain. Lots of rain.
It'd be nice if we got lots of rain.
Now that baseball season's over, lots of rain.
Yeah,
thanks for coming to the statue ceremony yesterday.
I don't know if I need a thank you. That's kind of an expected.
Well, I mean, it's still a thank you.
Well, you're welcome then.
Somebody asked me how many. I estimated 300 to 400. Does that seem
yeah, it was a good crowd.
Out at McAdams Park.
Did CC say anything about me after this?
Didn't say a word.
Huh, that's interesting.
Didn't say a word. He met a lot of people yesterday.
I figured maybe I'd made it a big impression on him.
CC Sabathia we're talking about, who was part of the Major League Baseball contingent, along with Dellen Betances, Jeremy Guthrie, and some people from their front office, Bob Kendrick, from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. It was a who's who of baseball and a great ceremony. And really, the people who made that ceremony great were the kids. And we had, 50 of them out there last night? It was awesome.
Good amount. Where does the relationship now go between you and Major League Baseball?
Hopefully it's a long-standing one.
That's the hope.
Yeah. I think I've made a decent impression on those folks. I think League 42 made a decent impression on those people. I think they were impressed with what they saw at our Leslie Rudd Learning Center for our dinner and then over across the street. So we would certainly welcome the partnership. And it's already there.
Of course.
They donated $100,000. They're replacing the lights on the two big fields. It's been remarkable. So it's a little bit strange today. I knew this day was going to be strange, so I kind of prepared for it. But you talk about a calm after a storm. This has been that day.
Explain.
There's so much buildup for the ceremony, especially in our world, in our League 42 world. And now today it's over and things are
sort of back to normal.
I guess back to normal, whatever normal is. But it's been good to be home today.
Glad to hear it.
Left the house.
Fantastic. I did.
Well, you had to go to work.
I haven't been back to the house.
You had to go to work. That's what you do. The winds surge at home this week?
They are not, which is unfortunate. I've only got 10 games left.
Really?
Yeah, out of the 18 that they play.
Yeah.
No, it's just how the rotation worked out.
I thought you were there pretty much every night doing either the scoring or
I tried to schedule as many games as possible, but we got three other guys that want to do their thing too, so do the best that we can. I've got 10 left.
I'm sure they'll be wonderful.
Yeah, I need more.
Too bad.
It's not
Sorry
enough.
About it.
I went too fast this year.
Here's what we have lined up on the show today. We're starting Big 12 football previews. They keep adding teams, which makes this job just a little tougher. I've reached out to several, heard back from few, but...
Well, there's 1,000 teams, as you mentioned, so good luck.
We do have Brian Howell from the Boulder Camera, buffzone.com. We're going to start this all off with one of the new Big 12 members, the Colorado Buffaloes. We'll talk to Brian Howell coming up at 2:25. At 3:25, Bernie Miklas from the St. Well, I say the St. Louis, long time of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He just unveiled a new YouTube show today.
Really?
And I watched it. Of course, I'm a Cardinals junkie, so Bernie will be here to talk about the Cardinals. And at 3:40, Anthony Kastrovitz from MLB.com will join the show. He was in Wichita yesterday for the Jackie event. Did a wonderful story on MLB.com about all of it. He's in Kansas City today doing a story on Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, I saw him at the Negro Leagues. I didn't see him at the Negro, but I saw that he took a picture with Bob Kendrick at the Negro Leagues Museum. So, yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff. And Anthony couldn't have been more cordial, and really enjoyed talking with him about League 42. So we'll talk to him today about his experience here in Wichita and maybe a big league question or two. You're coming off a split in your series with Baltimore, and then you lost last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not.
Who'd you play?
Arizona. They blew it three times.
Now where are you?
Done. You know, it's us and the White Sox, the two longest losing streaks in the game of baseball, and maybe the two worst teams in the game of baseball.
Why do you do this to yourself? How can it be enjoyable?
It's not. And if someone came out with a YouTube show about the Guardians today, I'd be sickened by that person.
Well,
can't imagine how you watch anything about the Cardinals.
Because I'm a long-term Cardinals fan, and I want to see them figure it out in my lifetime. I didn't used to add that caveat. In my lifetime wasn't a thing. In my lifetime is now a thing.
I feel you.
And,
I don't know that.
I want the Cardinals. You don't need to worry about it. I want the Cardinals to be good again someday. And to watch them get absolutely bypassed by a team that won 56 games last year and now is in such better shape than the team I follow, it's maddening.
Well, a lot of teams are getting bypassed by the Royals.
The Royals have to be the... What they've been able to do with their front office and their ownership is a model. It's unbelievable. And they really went out and fixed their pitching staff. The Cardinals didn't. The Cardinals made incremental improvement, really go out and fix it.
But who did Kansas City get? They got Waka,
Lugo, and they got Reagans at the deadline last year.
Yeah, so Waka, Lugo, and let's say Lorenzen. Those have been their last three starting pitching acquisitions. You line them up against Gray, Gibson, Lynn, you're not going to definitively say that the Royals,
no, but
going into this season, that would be a definitively
better
group.
But the Royals have Reagans backing all that up.
I understand.
All-star.
And they've gotten good performance.
They had two all-stars in their starting staff this year. And Sonny Gray has not been very good lately. I'm just going to call it like it is. Lance Lynn, up and down. Kyle Gibson, okay. They don't have a one or a two.
Doesn't seem like it. Well, Sonny Gray's a two at least.
Not lately. I wish he was.
Well, part of being a number two starter is that sometimes you don't look like a number one or a number two, and you have more ups and downs.
He'd be a viable number two, no question. But he's not an ace. And until the Cardinals figure this out, and they won't until John Mozeliak, and we'll talk to Bernie about all this. I'm going to be as direct with Bernie as I've ever been.
All right, well, I'll let you kind of run
Thank
with
you.
It. Take the
because
reins
Because I got
on
a lot
one.
To say.
Have at it.
You can ask Anthony Kastrovitz about the Guardians.
He used to cover them.
He's a Cleveland guy.
He is. So I don't need to ask. I know everything about them. I mean,
you don't know everything.
Outside of being in the clubhouse, which the access is not going to be given, I wouldn't assume.
Yeah, you don't. You're losing games now.
Three in a row.
What's the...
Still somehow the best record in baseball.
How close are the Twins now?
3.5.
Oh, boy. How close are the Royals?
5, I think, still.
Well, you got an interesting couple of months coming up.
Well, we got Minnesota this weekend, so we better tread water against the Diamondbacks. Did you promote my guest for tomorrow?
Who is your guest for tomorrow?
Jim Ed Norman.
What time is he again?
2:25.
Good boy. I'll have to move some things around.
Well, he's going to be at 2:25.
I completely forgot Jim Ed Norman, who was in Shiloh with Don Henley, grew up in the same town in East Texas called Linden, Texas. And I guess we'll have Jim Ed Norman on tomorrow.
Well, he was the conductor during the Hotel California tour. He wrote the string parts for the Hotel California album and the Desperado album. And he's going to have a lot of stories to share with us.
Well, we'll get him on.
Yeah, we sure will.
I got Big 12 football previews I got to worry about, but I'm very devoted to those. I think they're interesting. They give me a glimpse into what's going on.
They will be
interesting. Big 12 football, and I need that, frankly.
Are there teams that, I mean, Houston, they're terrible, but it's still Houston, right? So there aren't that many teams that are just completely uninteresting in the Big 12, outside of Oklahoma State.
No, Oklahoma State's good.
Did you hear me call the Dallas Cowboys the Oklahoma State of the NFL?
No, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the show yesterday. I heard it wasn't. I heard the big fellow was fine.
You did?
I heard you weren't great.
That's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, that's what I heard.
I'm surprised that someone said that, to be
honest.
How
was the show?
It was okay. We did fine. You know, Anthony seemed like he'd been sedated right before the show, but other than that, we did great.
You got to bring it out. You got to talk to Anthony.
I did. I went at him. I did my best, and you know, we got in. He perked up as the show kind of went on.
Anthony's fantastic, but you gotta engage and talk about things.
We did.
You know, I mean, and maybe he didn't have his pineapple juice. I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
But I always look forward to Anthony. I'll do a show with him next week. When are you gone next week?
The 13th.
Is that the K-State trip?
No, that's the 14th, but I got something going on the 13th.
Well, 14th, there's no show the Royals play, which is good because I'm not available that day either.
So we're good.
So thankfully, we don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to be here the 15th either.
Well, we better get Jason Duda on the horn. Where are you going?
I'll be in Kansas City with my wife. We're going to. We got a couple of appointments up there. I'm going to speak to a youth sports conference. Of course, you knew that.
You told me, but it's not something I'm carrying around in my brain right now.
Why don't you carry it around in your brain?
I'm just not that.
I'll be at Kauffman
attentive.
Stadium addressing a bunch of people.
Well, that'll be good.
And then Thursday, we got an appointment. We're going to hang out Wednesday night. You have a little time away. Now,
sounds
I worry
incredible.
About the puppy. But we've got people who'll come in and...
You don't want us to come check on her?
No, we need people here around the clock.
Really?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Misty?
Fine.
Absolutely.
All right.
And our friends are going to come in and do that for us. We appreciate it.
Nice people.
They are nice
people. They get to sleep here and stuff?
They do.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what? What do you mean, old man?
It's a good deal. Help themselves to whatever food they...
Sure.
Man, what a deal for them. You pay them?
Sure.
Wow. It's big stuff. This is heady stuff. You sure you don't want us to do it?
Absolutely, we pay them. And we appreciate it. And they do a great job. They love Misty. Misty loves them. So while I'm nervous about it, it's good to have people we trust.
She's in good hands, it sounds like.
Yeah. You been watching the Olympics? We're getting more into track and field. You haven't.
I've watched a lot of Olympics, in
fact. What was that reaction?
Oh, someone told me that they'd be happy to do the show with me on the 15th.
Who?
You could probably guess.
David Michael Hahn.
Yeah, my good friend David Michael Hahn. I've watched a ton of Olympics when I've been able to, and I'll probably, but I've watched some track and stuff and some gymnastics and swimming, but I've watched archery, we watched fencing, we watched a lot of the
on the Peacock Network.
Yeah,
well, you can get every every event there.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on outside of the three big
sports. It's
hard
to keep track of it all.
It is, and I don't like when it's overseas because I don't know when anything's happening. So I just put on that continuing coverage channel that goes all day, and they show pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They do a great job of showing the biggest stuff in the evening. So we've been watching quite a bit of it in the evenings. And I'm probably, the highlight for me of the Summer Olympics is always track and field.
My favorite is diving, always has been.
Really?
Yeah.
Diving.
Love diving.
Have you ever dove in your life?
I'm not a diver. I don't even know how to dive. I can jump, but I can't dive.
Well, maybe you ought to try it.
No, I don't think so. I think I'd hurt myself. I don't know
how diving.
I don't know how to contort my body.
If you've seen one dive, haven't you?
Yeah, I guess there's something to that, but I just enjoy the diving.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but I mean, track and field, when you're competing against sports that have to be judged are fine, okay? I get it. There's qualified people doing the judging.
Oh, we got ripped off out of the synchronized diving gold medal.
I don't know about that. I don't know anything about it.
We did. I watched it. It's bad. Bad.
But sports that have to be judged aren't as enjoyable as sports where there's direct competition.
I understand.
For me.
I get it. And a lot of the sports in the Summer Olympics are not judged. They are direct competition.
Right.
And some of them are judged, mostly diving. Is there anything else that's judged?
Well, sure, gymnastics.
Not true.
Yes.
But you like gymnastics. You watch the gymnastics.
I like gymnastics because of the athleticism of it. I can't tell you how somebody beats somebody. I don't have any clue.
And the announcers on those sports act like we all should know and we're dumb if we don't know.
I don't know about that.
They're a little
highbrow.
They do
a good job.
They're fine.
They do a good job.
But they tell us these things as if we're supposed to know them, and I don't.
Well, they tell you so that you'll learn them.
Yeah, but they're kind of mean.
No, they're not.
They're kind of mean.
That's the silliest.
At least in some of the sports I've watched.
That's completely silly.
It happens.
Is what that is.
I was trying to think of where they were really mean. Canoeing, they were mean.
How was Max doing back in the studio yesterday?
Seemed fine.
Anybody come in? Anybody drop in?
No, just...
No Tony, no...
Saw Tony, but he didn't drop in.
You went to see him?
No, we just kind of bumped into each other.
Didn't say anything, didn't
he? Hello. Hey, Tony, what's going on?
That's it?
Thanks for the bonus. You know, stuff like that.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, thank
you. If I'd been there, he would have fallen over backwards.
Yeah, but I don't need that kind of attention.
Tony was at the unveiling yesterday.
He was?
I
didn't see
that. I posted a bunch of photos on KFH Radio's Twitter page. I'm going to call it Twitter for the rest of my life. And I appreciated that.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, everybody. I say 400 people. I don't know, maybe more. But it seemed like everybody I know was out there.
Probably so. You have your Derby folks out there? Any of those
Derby
folks?
People were out there, including John Parsons' wife, Carol, who spoke. What did you think of the speakers?
Good. It was hard to hear them at times.
Really?
Because I was standing close to the street and cars would go by. But, yeah, they were good.
How'd I do? Can I ask?
Fine.
Just fine.
Well, I mean, we were all there for CeCe and the other folks. But
But how'd I do?
CeCe was good.
He barely spoke.
Yeah, but he was touching.
Here's what Jeremy Guthrie said after the event. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Because this just leads into my belief that you'll hear it.
Do I want to hear it?
I don't know. You'll get angry. He said we were talking about the artwork, and he said, "Did you have that done, or who did that?" And I go, well, Ella Backus did it, and she was there last night. And he said, well, I thought maybe you were as good an artist as you are a comedian.
Oh, my God, which is not good. Was he trying to say it's bad?
And that was just exactly what I needed to hear.
He didn't say that.
Oh, of course he did.
You misheard him. He must have said,
thank you to Jeremy Guthrie for that.
Coach or something. You misheard.
Well, I also spoke over at our dinner. and was pretty funny over there. You ask anybody.
All right, I'll ask.
Yeah,
yeah. I snuck into the. We almost got kicked out, but
why would you get kicked out?
Well, they didn't know who I was. So
who said something?
I don't know her name, but she was
Jacqueline.
No,
Jean.
Maybe.
What'd she say?
She said we're outside. So she kind of scooted us out, and I said, "Bob's my dad."
And what'd she say?
She said, "Oh my God, I'm sorry."
Oh, now that's funny. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we'll begin talking about Big 12 football. We got a lot of teams to cover. We're going to start off with the University of Colorado with Brian Howe from the Boulder Camera, BuffZone.com. Back in a minute. All right, Brian Howe joins us. He covers the University of Colorado athletic program for the Boulder Camera, BuffZone.com. Been doing that for a while. Brian, we're happy to have you. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. So I guess we start any conversation of Colorado football with how much do you enjoy covering Deion Sanders? He gives you plenty to write about, doesn't he?
Well, yes and no. The access right. is probably less than we normally get, but certainly there's no lack of attention and lack of interest going on with that program.
So last year they made the 3-win improvement. Do you think that signified that maybe Colorado is closer than we originally thought, maybe to contending in a conference like the Big 12? Or did it signify more that there's still a whole lot of work to do?
Well, I think it's a little of both. I think what they did last year, that was a pretty big jump from what they were in 2022. And, obviously totally different roster. But to remake what that team was in 2022 and to win 4 games, and really, in my opinion, they should have won a couple more and been in a bowl game. I think that was pretty significant. But I think they've got the pieces to where, if things fall in line, they can contend in the Big 12 this year.
Interesting. We're talking Big 12 football with Brian Howe, the first of our Big 12 previews, Colorado, the topic today. So in quarterback Shedeur Sanders, receiver Travis Hunter, who also obviously doubles up in the secondary, they have two of the best players in college football. But it's going to take a lot more, and that's kind of where it kind of fell apart last year. They didn't protect Shedeur Sanders very well. They didn't run the ball very well. Their defense was pretty porous at times. How do you go about fixing that much, and do you think they've addressed those issues?
Yeah, and I think one of the differences is, in the portal last year, they were just collecting, whatever pieces they could get, and doing the best they can, whereas this year I think they were more calculated and selective in what they needed, and it was filling holes, and it was understanding, all right, we need offensive and defensive linemen. They went out and got a bunch of them, and understanding we need to get a couple more receivers, and they went and got them, a couple more pieces in the secondary, and they went and got them. And so I think the offensive and defensive lines are improved and better than they were last year, and I think they've got some really good receivers. I mean, they've got a kid, LaJonte Wester, who was number 2 in the country last year in receptions at Florida Atlantic. He caught 108 passes and was also an All-American punt returner. They got Will Shepard, who was the leading receiver at Vanderbilt last year. And then they got a bunch of guys in the trenches that were starters for their FBS teams last year. So I think they're much improved.
How good is Shedeur Sanders? What do his prospects for this year look like? What do his potential prospects for the NFL look like? And do you think Colorado has fixed the issue that saw him be sacked over 50 times last year?
Yeah, that's the key. They went out and got a whole bunch of linemen, they signed Jordan Seaton, who was the number one high school offensive lineman in the 2024 class. And it looks like he's going to be the starting left tackle. So if they address that, I really think the sky's the limit for him. And I think if he has good protection, Shador Sanders can be in New York for the Heisman ceremony. I think he's that good for this year. And, you know, I think that he's legitimately a top five pick in the draft next year, if not the number one overall pick. And, you know, he's that good. He's fun to watch. And, you know, he's pretty darn good, especially when he gets that clean pocket.
Speaking with Brian Howell from the Boulder Camera, BuffZone.com covers Colorado athletics. We're talking about Colorado football. So, obviously, the Buffs are back in the Big 12, and they're leaving the Pac-12, which everybody left the Pac-12. So, what's been the general consensus of people there in Boulder and Colorado about this move back into the Big 12? Are they happy about it? They obviously still have Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State with them. What's the general consensus of feeling?
Yeah, I think the general thought is that they're excited that they're in a conference with more stability, which they didn't have in the Pac-12 those last couple of years. And so I think it's more so that they're just glad that they're in a better spot. But there's especially a lot of the older Buffs are excited about some of those rivalries being renewed. And certainly, you know, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas are not there anymore. But, you know, Buff fans have enjoyed rivalries with Kansas and Kansas State and Oklahoma State and Iowa State, teams like that, that they get to renew those rivalries. And they're excited for some new teams, too. And I think Buff fans are, you know, eager to see, like, a UCF and a Cincinnati and teams like that. So I think it's fun for a lot of people. And I haven't really heard negative from a lot of fans about this move.
So, you know, you talked about Colorado going into the portal this year more for needs as opposed to just kind of filling out a roster. Do you think this is a program that can achieve stability? I mean, whatever that kind of means in this era of college football, we know they'll go into the portal a bunch, as every school does. But is the trigger-happy nature of Deion, is that overblown, or could he continue to just completely remake rosters that underachieve?
Yeah, I think it's maybe a little overblown, but not unfair because that's how he's done it the first 2 years. But I think a lot of it is – the reason why I say overblown is that I'm not sure people understood how badly they needed to revamp that roster after 2022 and you know, certainly after this last year too. I believe – I don't know how long he's going to be here, but as long as he's here, I think they're going to use the portal quite a bit. But as time goes on, I can see to where it's less portal and more high school because they realize they need to build that way as well. But I think they're always going to use the portal to try to fill holes.
Talking with Brian Howell from the Boulder Camera. Boy, this schedule for Colorado is a doozy. They start with North Dakota State, which has had all kinds of success at its level, then at Nebraska and at Colorado State before opening Big 12 play with Baylor. That's called hitting the ground running. That's a big challenge for the Buffs.
Yeah, no question. And they're one of only a couple teams in this conference that has to play every team that's in the preseason top five of the Big 12 rankings. So it's not an easy conference schedule. And you're right, you know, out of the gates non-conference wise. I think nationally, I'm not sure a lot of people understand how tough that schedule is. You know, North Dakota State obviously has a history of beating teams like this, and at Nebraska is going to be really tough, especially because CU's won the three last meetings, and you know those fans want the bus big time. And then that trip to Colorado State is not an easy one. Colorado has not been up to Fort Collins in since 1996, and so those fans are looking forward to seeing the bus on their campus for the first time in a very long time. And so that's a tough three-game slate. And then, again, you get into conference, and they've got to play all the contenders, or whatever what we think are the contenders right now.
And you're talking about K-State, Arizona, Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State, all on Colorado's Big 12 football schedule. So you mentioned earlier, Brian, that you think Colorado's a viable contender or could be in this conference. Couldn't you say that about 10 of the teams?
Yes, you absolutely could. And I, you know, I'm going to throw UCF in there. I think UCF is one of the more underrated teams around. And, you know, when I look at them on paper, I think they're going to be really good. So that's another tough one on Colorado's schedule. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. There could be 10, 11 teams in the Big 12, you say, yeah, you know, if they get a break, you know, then they could be a contender. But I do think Colorado's in there, and I don't know what those breaks are, but I think that there's capability there if some things go their way and they can steal some games to be in that mix.
All right, good stuff. Really enjoy talking college football. Thanks for coming on and giving us a preview of Colorado. Thanks, Brian.
You bet, anytime.
All right, Brian Howe from the Boulder Camera, talking a little Colorado football. Now, see, I feel like I know a little bit more.
What is the? Is that a newspaper, the Boulder Camera?
Of course, it's been around forever.
That's a weird name for a newspaper.
Well, it's a camera into the community.
Fair.
It's a beautiful name.
I guess I don't understand a lot of, why is the paper the eagle? What does that signify?
It's an eagle eye.
It's flying above.
We got eagle eyes up there doing a great job of finding the news that matters.
All right. What about the Times-Picayune?
The Picayune is a you know, what is a Picayune?
I don't know. I mean, I guess newspaper names make sense when you think about it, but eagle has always confused me. But if you're talking about being eagle-eyed and having your eye on the
community. Well, the eagle was named many, many decades ago. I don't know what the motive was.
What about the beacon? What does that mean?
The beacon, a beacon of light on the community. We're going to shine the light on the happenings of Wichita.
Yeah, it all adds up.
Doesn't it? Why do you need to ask me?
Marshall Murdoch was ahead of his time.
The Wichita Eagle Beacon.
Yeah.
Or eagle eyes shining a light.
That's what I'm saying.
How much more pertinent could you be?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? No, yeah, seriously.
I'm trying to think of, what about the Star Register? That makes sense, I guess.
Of course it does.
I'm trying to think of other newspaper names that don't make sense. Just let me have this.
The Capital Journal. I mean, that, of course. The Kansas City Star.
What is the star? What is the star?
Star shines light.
The Post, News.
That's the job of a newspaper.
The Globe. What about the Globe?
Because you cover the Globe.
You are not the Globe.
The Dodge City Globe covers the Globe.
But it doesn't. It's not a Globe.
They cover the Globe in terms of what they aspire to do. To Dodge Cityans, Dodge City is their Globe. Does that make sense?
It doesn't.
To me, it makes perfect sense.
What about the Jamestown Sun?
The Sun, again, don't you understand?
No.
Shining light.
Really?
Are you dense?
That's dumb, though. I don't like that. What about the Call of Woonsocket in Rhode Island?
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's take a break. You're getting out.
Westerly Sun of Westerly.
You've jumped a shark with your...
I didn't mean to.
Kind of, no offense. Nah, I won't say that.
What about the Daily Leader?
Leading, moron.
Why talk yourself up like that?
We'll take a break. Back in a minute. Hour number two, we've got Bernie Miklas, Anthony Kastrovitz coming. Maybe we'll do a game next. Or we'll do it at 3 o'clock.
Well, Max is playing, so it's up to you.
When do you want to do it?
I'd rather do it at top of the hour, I think.
Top of the hour, we'll do the game. I thought we might do Aerosmith this week, but I forgot to tell Max, so it's my fault.
It's too bad.
They came off the road because Steven Tyler can't sing anymore.
Yeah, it's...
Wonder if Don Henley's thought about that.
Well, obviously not, because they've got 20 shows and probably counting in Las Vegas.
We hope he can still sing, right? That's our hope.
Well, I've seen him sing, so he can still sing.
Steven Tyler said, nope.
He can't still sing.
I admire that, don't you?
No. I mean, either you can or you can't.
Oh, he could have made something happen. He could have auto-tuned it up or lip-synced it or whatever. But he's coming off the road. Aerosmith hanging it up.
They're done.
Which is remarkable because
weird.
Even as long as they've been around forever, it's still... almost surreal to see a band just stop.
Yes, but I mean they've had the same people in their group basically forever. So if you're still touring, you can still seem sort of modern and still relevant. And then to just abruptly end it is strange.
Truly a band that couldn't put a new frontman out there and survive.
No chance.
Journey did. I don't know how.
because he sounds exactly the same, and that's
well,
what
they could find somebody who sounded like Steven Tyler. But it would the personality of Steven Tyler cannot be replaced.
Right. It's more than just the songs.
It's but a lot of bands do it. Chicago replaced Peter Cetera.
Personality different. There isn't much of one with Peter.
Well, no, now offense. Watch out now.
No offense
you're
to getting, Pete.
You're getting into my territory.
Well, I mean, it's true. I love Peter Cetera, but he's not flying off the page with charisma and frontman aura.
He had good charisma. He was just fine. There, that band's charisma, Chicago I'm talking about, was mutually divided. Their horn section had great has great charisma.
Do they?
Sure they do. Jimmy Pankow? He's fantastic. You've never seen Chicago.
Who are...
Have you?
No.
See, I always catch you in these things.
Catch me in what?
Where you're trying to sound intelligent, and I just...
Because I
blow
think,
that up.
Not
I blow,
really.
I put a stick you said, of dynamite
well,
in
you
it.
You said, well, the tuba player has charisma. That's
I didn't
not
say
an,
that. I said
that's
the horn section.
That's, well, it's the same thing.
Go watch a DVD of, go get on YouTube and watch Chicago.
Who are the bands that could not replace their frontman?
The Stones.
Lead singer. Right. Guns N' Roses.
Right.
Would be one. Axl.
Kiss.
Who's, okay, who's their frontman?
Gene Simmons.
In a way, I guess.
Queen, although they did.
Yeah, so that's not on the list.
They're still out there, but you can't replace Freddie Mercury.
Adam Lambert.
He's great, but he
I mean,
can't really
still...
he can't really replace Freddie Mercury.
Nobody can replace Freddie Mercury. That's why they don't even call they call themselves Queen with Adam Lambert, not even Queen.
Who else?
I don't know. There can't be many.
The Police.
No, he can't replace Sting.
Name some other bands. I'll
tell
you.
The Beach Boys did it. The Eagles did it. Fleetwood Mac did it.
Well, the Eagles have so... Don Henley's their lead singer.
Do you think if he had met an untimely, that they would have
They would have been done.
Really?
Guns N' Roses yes. replaced the lead singer for a while.
I think
Roses. Brian Johnson of AC/DC sang with them for a while.
I thought... Axl Rose sang with AC/DC.
One of the two, but AC/DC had, I thought it was Brian Johnson sang with them. I don't know. They did replace
it the other way around.
But it's a new thing out for both of you called Google.
Well, I don't need to look it up because I'm pretty sure I'm right.
The days of having those kind of discussions should be over.
Yeah, but you still want to have
them. I thought it was, well, it's fine to have them. No, it's not. It's not
too,
fine
it's
to have
too many clicks. Do it. Like, I don't want to do what did Brian Johnson sing with?
All you have to do is Google.
Yeah, I get it.
I do it a million times a day.
A million?
No, I do it a lot because I'm a curious guy and these questions pop up all day long.
You just think about stuff.
And back in the day, what did we do? We just...
You didn't know.
We had to
call somebody.
I thought it was Brian Johnson.
And is that... a perfection of technology for you, or is that an imperfection?
That's a perfection of
not,
technology.
Not to me. I'd rather interact with a human.
You'd rather call somebody and say...
I'd rather have the argument.
How many calories are in sliced carrots? That's what you'd rather do.
That sounds good. How many are there?
I don't know. I can look it up.
I bet I could have looked it up on the package even back in the day.
No, you couldn't. They didn't have it.
They didn't have nutritional information.
Not then.
When?
They just gave you a package of carrots and said, go for it.
Well, they probably said, hey, it's pretty healthy.
Not a thing was written except carrots.
Well, there wasn't massively unhealthy food and a whole bunch of processed stuff back then either. You went to the grocery store, you got your produce, you mixed it up, made something, and you were done.
Well, I got to figure out where to go for a good salad. You got any tips?
Nope.
See, I could Google it.
Well, you go to that place that we
That's
went
so
to.
So far. Where?
Doc Green's.
That's a pretty good idea. That's not a bad idea.
Well, they do, in my experience, have the best salads.
Yeah. Where's the nearest one to me?
Mays Road.
Oh, my goodness. Can we bring something closer?
Well, that's where everything is. is on Mays Road.
I may have to do that. That's a pretty good idea.
I know.
Leakers has a solid bar.
Well, it seemed like you were out of favor with Leakers because you said I need to find a place with a good salad.
No, I like them, but they're quite a ways away too. And today's meatloaf day, as you're well aware.
10 minutes to Doc Green's.
15 to Leakers.
So there you go.
And 15 to Doc Green's, depending on the traffic.
It usually was about 8. So yeah, 8 from my old house to here. So yeah, probably about 12 to 15.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing that close to where I live. We did try Barrel Boys Barbecue the other day. Very good. A little pricey. No offense, guys. You do a great job.
What'd you have?
I had the brisket with some corn, you know, scalloped corn.
Scalloped corn?
And beans.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's good. Whatever they call it. It's really good.
Scalloped corn. Is that a thing?
I don't know if it's called that. Idiot. Well, look it up. I'm so tired of you.
Well, what would it be?
I don't know what it'd be. It's corn.
I don't even know what scalloped means, to be honest.
You put a little texture to it.
Is it?
Scallop it. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll play the game for about 15 minutes. I want to get to Bernie Miklas at about 3:20 today.
Well, we got a game.
I got things to talk about. We'll play the game for 15 minutes. When we come back, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
What do you want me to be? Here are the choices. This guy. Jeff, how are you? You look good today. Did you trim your eyebrows?
I like.
Jeff Lutz.
It's not really about sense of humor. It's about whether I want to humor you. Do I? So, not really.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting, Max Power producing engineering. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Max, it is
time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Time to play the game here on our show. What is the game?
Max versus Bob is the game. We have song lyrics from number one hits.
One of my worst categories.
From number one hits of the 1970s.
Hey, now. Max will probably kill me in this one.
Yeah.
Good luck, Max.
I can't remember Bob when I started to forget, but it is 40-something, 50 years ago. So maybe
This will be awful.
I didn't think these were terribly difficult, but let's see. Max, do you want to go first or second as reigning champ?
How am I? I'll go second.
You're not. Okay. Bob, your lyrics. I don't need your war machines.
I don't need your ghetto scenes.
I don't need your ghetto scenes. What song is that from?
Hypnotize, sparkle, someone else's eye. Now, woman. American Woman.
You want to give us the artist? For another
guess who?
For another point? Yeah. You have 2 points. I just made up that extra point thing.
Not bad. Max, would you have gotten that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, on RCA, no less.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Here's Max's first lyric. Yeah, some of them are easy, some of them may not be. The radio is blasting. Someone's knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girlfriend. She's passed out on the floor.
So,
which one you want? You want the originals, Randy Newman, or Three Dog Night? Three Dog Night.
What's the song?
Mama told me not to come.
Yes, that's correct.
How much extra do I get for the record label?
This is I'm driving okay now.
On ABC,
I just left my driveway. I'm doing fine, but I'm in trouble. I'm going to crash here, and it's not going to be pretty.
No.
I can already feel it. Go.
We know all these songs, Bob. We know all these songs. We're old.
I may know them, but I'm not going to go.
Soon we'll be married. and raise a family. A cozy little home out in the country with two children, maybe three.
I have no idea who sang that song.
One of my all-time favorite songs. You have nothing?
Soon
we'll be married and raise a family. A cozy.
Sing it.
No, I don't sing it.
Give me a little beat to it, a rhythm.
Soon we'll be married and raise a family. A cozy.
I don't know.
Little
I have
home.
No, I told
out in
you
the
crash was coming.
With two children, maybe
nope.
Three. Who Max, do you know?
I keep thinking of Our House, but that's not it.
It's not. You guys, you need to branch out in genres occasionally.
No.
This was Just My Imagination by the Temptations.
Oh, jeez, man.
I should have known that. That's even the Stones.
You should have.
The Stones,
that's
covered,
the, I told
the Stones
you.
Covered that on some girls, too. And I have a
but
lot
I can't,
of
Temptations. I'm go. I will never recover from this game.
Max. They'll hurt you and desert you and take
oh,
your
God.
Soul if you let them. Oh, but don't you let them.
Oh, God.
Don't you let them. Oh, I know the song.
You should.
I know the song.
5 seconds.
Oh, God. This is all. See, Bob, I know it.
That's
I just
terrible,
can't remember
Max.
It. Yeah, I know.
Would you like to
no,
steal?
No, I'm not doing it.
You're not going to steal?
Well,
I didn't know you could steal.
Well, you can.
They'll hurt you. Say it again.
They'll hurt
oh,
you
I know,
and desert
I
you and
oh,
take your soul if you let them.
Take your soul if you let them.
I remember
oh,
it now.
Yeah, but don't you let them.
5 seconds.
You just call my name. You got a friend, James Taylor. That's a steal.
That's correct. Back to Bob for this
oh,
one.
Oh, baby, Max.
Yeah, I told you.
I suppose... I could collect my back. Sorry, I'll start over. I suppose I could collect my books and get on back to school or steal my daddy's.
Maggie May, Rod Stewart.
And make a living out of playing pool. That's correct. Max.
Hello.
Now the halftime air.
With Sweeper American
was sweet
Pie by
perfume.
Don McLean on United Artists.
Yeah, that one's easy. That one's very
good
easy.
Good grief.
You get extra for the working
here's
label.
One that I don't know that either of you will get. Well... I hear you went up to Saratoga, and your horse naturally won.
Oh, easy.
Then you flew your Learjet up to Nova Scotia.
Carly Simon.
To see the total eclipse of the sun.
Yeah, Carly Simon.
Song?
with Mick
you're
on
so
back.
Vain.
Yes, that's correct.
With Mick on back.
Shut up, Max. Quit trying to distract me.
No, you had
when
it.
When it's my turn, just let me flail away.
Just
that's
let him.
Max.
Max, your turn. He's got a custom Continental. He got an Eldorado, too. He got a 32-gun in his pocket for
Jim
fun.
Jim Croce.
He got a razor in his shoe.
Jim Croce, bad, bad Leroy Brown.
So easy.
Yeah, that's correct. Are these that easy?
On ABC Dunhill.
What's the score? Update the score.
You're ahead,
it's 8-6. You're leading. Now, these fine ladies, they had a plan.
They was out to meet the boys in the band. They said, come on, Lutz. That is Grand Funk American Band.
Do I give it to him?
Yes.
We're an American
yeah,
band.
Yeah, sure.
Friend of the show. Do we?
And these are way too easy.
You had Don Brewer on a few times, Bob, didn't you?
We have.
Yeah.
Max, Something in the Wind has learned my name. And it's telling me that things are not the same.
Tough one, Max.
Maybe.
No, that's a tough one.
I know the song. It's like to James.
You got 5 seconds.
It won't come
five.
Right now.
He's done,
I
Jeff.
Know it,
don't rub it in.
It's all right.
Well, the timer.
I don't know that one.
The timer continues.
What
that was
it?
Top of the World by the Carpenters.
Yeah. Probably had that 45,
top
too.
Top of the world looking.
Down on creation.
Down on creation.
Okay,
next.
Well. The night was falling as the desert world began to settle down. In the town, they're searching for us everywhere, but we never will be found.
I know that one, but... I can't think of it. and I won't think of it. What is it? Max, you want to steal?
Max can steal. Band on the Run.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
So easy.
Artist.
Paul McCartney and Wings.
I'm done. It's time for a... what's...
it's 10-8, and it's Max's turn.
No, it's 12-8.
It's 10-8.
Go, Max.
Here, I'm gonna. I have to give this one to Max because I can't give it to Bob. I'm going back in time, and it's a sweet dream. It was a quiet night, and I would be all right if I could go on sleeping.
Oh, my God.
The Eagles.
Yes. Song?
You gave it away when you said I can't give it to Bob.
What is it?
Best of My Love.
Why couldn't you give it to me?
Because you could get it easily.
On Asylum. I know the record labels. That's what's really sad.
Well, I don't give points for those. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high.
I've never wanted to get out of something more than I want to get out of this.
Why?
Because I don't like it. I don't like it. I told you at the very beginning.
You're going to kill yourself, Bob.
That it wouldn't go well. Yeah, sing it for me.
No, I'm not going to sing it for you.
Sing a little rhythm for me.
Everyone smiles as you drift past the flower. I don't know if I'm giving that to you, though.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by the Beatles.
You don't get that.
Oh, no, give it to me.
You don't get
That's wrong.
Give it to me, no, Max.
Can't. It's Elton John with Dr. Winston O'Boogie.
I'm going Beatles.
He's from the 70s. They didn't come out in the 70s.
Give me two.
I'm not giving you any.
Give Bob another one then. Because it was Elton John's hit number one in the 70s.
All right, Max, this is you, or do you want it to go to Bob?
Give it to Bob.
All right. Well, you're digging your own grave. Well, if it rains, I don't care. I'm going to Bob.
All right.
Well, if it rains, I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. Just take that streetcar that's going uptown.
Rains, I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. Just take that streetcar that's going to town. Doobie Brothers.
It's not that fast.
That streetcar.
Well, if it rains, I don't care. Don't make no difference to me.
Blackwater from the Doobie Brothers.
There you go.
Can't give him the Beatle one, though, because it was Elton John's hit number one in the 70s.
Well, I didn't give him any points, but you told me to go back to him, so that's now right. You're going to lose.
Oh, well.
I only got two left.
I'll give Max one of them.
I am. Max. Hey, kids, shake it loose together. The spotlight's hitting something
Benny
that's
the
been
Jets.
Known to change the weather.
Benny and the Jets.
Easy.
Elton.
By?
Elton.
Yes, it's 12-12. This one will determine our winner.
What is it?
One day up near Salinas, Lord, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. But I'd trade all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday.
I should know
One
that.
Of my favorite lyrics ever. That one.
Looks like Max is going to get
it
this.
For me.
I don't
give
think
me a
I
little,
know how.
That
well, give me a little bit of
There's
rhythm.
Not much rhythm to the song.
I don't know. Max, you win.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Oh, Janis Joplin.
Well, Max gets it.
Why? No.
And Max wins.
Here's right. Chris Christopherson wrote that. That's one of my favorite lines, that in You Can't Please Everyone, You Got to Please Yourself.
I hated that game.
You didn't like that one?
I liked
Not
that
really.
Game.
I thought it'd go
you know,
longer.
I'm just being honest.
I guess
with
I needed more songs to go to.
Just being real.
It is didn't, what it
didn't
is.
Didn't care for the game that
well,
much.
Well, I'm really sorry.
But congratulations to Max. Who
no, you won.
Out.
Max basically
Or did
won.
I win?
You won.
I think Max won.
No, Bob won. Either that or was it tie?
I gave you the answer to the last one.
All right, thanks, Max. So tomorrow on the show, we have Jim Ed Norman.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Nobody knows him.
Well, who cares? He's got
he,
stories.
He has been one of Don Henley's guys for his entire life. They grew up together. And he'll join us at 2:25. And it will be interesting to talk to Jim Ed Norman, who's a guy I've known about for most of my life. And then also tomorrow on the show, comedian Derek Stroop. Do you know him?
I'm not sure that I do.
Really? Thought you were up to date in the comedy world.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't for sure say that he's a... Maybe. I don't know. I may have seen him on Reels. That'd be my guess if I have seen him.
Well, I would hope that you've paid attention enough.
What do I need to pay attention to? I'm doing the best that I can.
Well, I thought...
When is he on?
He's on tomorrow.
At when?
2:45.
Oh, better go to Jim Ed early. I want some of those stories, man.
No guest is worth extra time except Bernie McLean.
Oh, really? You'd rather know more about the Cardinals than about Don Henley. That's insane.
No, I don't mind hearing more about Don Henley. At one point in my life, I would have wanted everything. But we all get older and...
Well, he's not going to write a book, so...
How do you know? Maybe he's working on one.
He should be.
He always said he wanted to. What does he do day to day?
I don't know.
What does he do when they're not touring? His kids are grown.
That's a good question.
What does he do?
Well, that's Jim Ed.
He won't know.
Of course he will. He was touring with him. For years.
Well, we can't just ask Jim Ed a bunch of Don Henley questions.
That's true, but we can mix them in.
I got a million questions.
Well, maybe
you don't have to be on the show tomorrow. I'll handle it.
Okay, but I want to be at that part of the show. You can do Stroop.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to try to get to Bernie a little early. Hopefully he's ready for that. We might have to text him and say, Bernie, we're trying to get you now.
Do it.
Bernie is a Cardinals guy. He's worked in the media in St. Louis for a long time. Cardinals begin a series tonight against Tampa Bay. They are hanging by a thread, in my opinion. We'll see what Bernie's opinion is. That's next. This is Bob and Jeff, KFH.
The Bob and Jeff Show.
We're getting to Bernie Miklas a little bit early. I appreciate you being flexible. Bernie, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thanks for the invite, as always. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
I'm always happy to get you on.
Yeah, I was told I'd have to talk you off the ledge today, though. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. I had to get that joke in.
Well, I watched your new YouTube show, your debut today. Really enjoyed it. I watch everything you do or read everything you do. I'm a Cardinals fan through and through, and these are a little bit of troubled times. You went into it in pretty good detail on your YouTube show this morning. I'm finding it difficult to be as optimistic as some Cardinals fans are. I'm just not of the belief that this is going to be fixed by the current regime led by John Mozeliak. Am I off base?
No, I'm right there with you. My optimism level is not totally kaput, but it's getting close, you know, and as I mentioned, and thanks for mentioning the YouTube channel I have, you know, their next 30 games, they got 90% of them are against winning teams who also have a higher winning percentages in the Cardinals. So the point is, any chance they have of turning around this trend they're on, it's really, really a downtrend. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, they're going to have to do it over the next 30 games. I mean, they can't continue to kind of stumble around, or they'll be out of time, because I mean, that the 30 game stretch ends on September 8th. And so then you're down to the final 3 weeks or so. And they just can't close any ground on the Brewers, and they're slipping further behind in the wild card race. And, offense is really down. It hadn't been good all year except in spurts. I mean, starting pitching starting to go sour. I think the bullpen's pretty good, but, you know, they're not as much strike out and swing or miss stuff. So they got a lot of problems. I mean, this thing is not just like well, they're in a little slump type thing. I think it goes deeper than that. I mean, you know, so I think it's going to be a really tough challenge for them. I mean, there was a time I felt pretty good about their chances, but they've kind of knocked that out of me. As it's been the same for you, they've knocked that out of you as well.
So, Bernie, I'm not a Cardinals fan, but as an outside...
He used to be, and then he deserted.
Yeah, 700 years ago. But as an outside observer, I look at, you know, Mason Wynn, Brendan Donovan, Alec Burleson, Jordan Walker, Ivan Herrera, Victor Scott, all these young players that they have either given extended looks to or kind of short-circuited, and they made trades last year to get young pitching and other young position players. What's the problem with just going with these young players? It's not going to get much worse than it is now, so why not kind of rebuild a little bit on the fly?
Well, I've had that thought too, and I think it all depends on what happens after this season. You know, I think there's certainly a distinct possibility that John Mozeliak will, you know, step down. I mean, he's dropped some hints that longtime Mozeliak observers such as myself can pick up on. I mean, they brought in Chaim Bloom as an advisor, and he did a wonderful job at Tampa Bay, and I think he got a raw deal in Boston. So I think he wants to get back to running a team, and his specialty is pitching, and that's been the Cardinals' downfall. They lost their ability to evaluate, draft, and develop pitchers, which used to be their strength. Now it's their weakness, and so it all depends. If there's a regime change after this season, you know, it really depends on how they look at it. I shouldn't assume it's going to be Chaim Bloom. If I had to bet $5 at the racetrack window, I'd bet on him. But it doesn't mean it'll happen. But I don't have a feel for what they're, if this is another bad year, it ends poorly. I don't have a feel for whether they'd want to go in that direction or not. But listen, you know, to your point, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, and I think the offense is still, pardon me, the offense is still the biggest problem on the team. And I know people get on Ollie Marmol, I get it, but I think it's kind of missing the target, because look, you take a manager and you put him in charge of a team, says this is your team, this is your lineup, and you got Nolan Arenado, you got, you know, Paul Goldschmidt. You got a guy who had a really terrific rookie season last year in Jordan Walker, and you have a guy, Nolan Gorman, who last year slugged nearly 500 and got, you know, shown really good improvement. So let's fast forward to this year. I mean, you know, Arenado is suddenly looking very old at age 33. Goldie is old, and they're having career worst seasons. And then the two young guys you were going to build around, Gorman is like a ghost. I mean, he since like early June, he's hitting 157, and his strikeout rate's like 40%. He's turned into a ghost. Walker's still in Memphis, and he hasn't exactly tore it up down there. So when a huge part of your lineup, let's face it, that's like four big pieces in your lineup, and they all go bad, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. So I think they could win again next season, but I think Bill DeWitt Jr. is going to have to be willing to spend more money. You know, they need more of an infusion, but it's just really tough to see all these guys go south that they were counting on. I'm sorry for the long answer.
It's okay. That's what we love about you. Bernie Miklas, our guest, longtime media figure in the city of St. Louis. You can read his work at scoopsnetwork.com, as well as his new YouTube show. So you mentioned Goldschmidt and Arenado. I've read some things. I haven't really zoned in today. I've been kind of busy, but read some things that the Cardinals are considering negotiating something new with him. I don't know if that's factual or not. I don't know what I don't see why you would bring Paul Goldschmidt back for another run. I also am concerned about the decline of Nolan Arenado, who's just simply not the same player he was a year or two ago. So how do you resolve those issues if you're the Cardinals? They're still on the hook for a lot of money with Arenado.
I think they got to be really careful, to your point, about Goldschmidt. He's a class act. I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. Much respect for him, but everybody gets old, except for you, Bob, and me. We don't get old. Everybody gets old, and they lose their fastball, so to speak. And, you know, Goldie's been – look, he was awful over the weekend, and he was up for, you know, the final three games against the Cubs. He was bad again yesterday, really bad. He's been all right, but he's got to be better than all right. But, you know, in fairness to him, Father Time always wins, and he's just not the same hitter. His strikeout rate, and he looks at called strikes all the time, a lot of swings and misses. You know, I'd be very reluctant to bring him back. And Nolan Arenado, I think they're stuck with him. His contract runs through the end of 2027, although in 2027 it's not as expensive salary-wise as it is now. But, you know, Cardinals fans, and God love them, I don't blame anybody for, like, making suggestions. But they're like, man, they need to trade Arenado. Well, who the hell's going to take that contract, you know? I mean, the other teams see what we see, which is there's a guy that's 33 who's suddenly playing as if he's a lot older. And his power is, you know, unless he can pull a mistake pitch, pull it right down the line, he doesn't hit for power anymore. I mean, the miles per hour off his bat is, like, unbelievably low. And, you know, I think his time as an elite player has passed. It's just a matter of can he just sort of at least do an average job? And I even question that. So it'd be easy to say trade him, but, you know, you'd have to talk the other side into taking on about $40, $50 million. I don't think they're going to do that. So with Goldie, if he walks or the Cardinals say, look, this has been great, but we have to move on. I mean, you can play Alec Burleson at first, and then you go out and you try to identify some other people that can help you in the lineup, and you either make a trade or two or sign a free agent or two. But Burleson actually plays first base better than he does in the outfield. So they have someone that he can plug in there. That's my point.
Bernie Miklas, our guest. So we're obviously here in Wichita. It's kind of Royals country mostly here in Wichita, Kansas. We've seen that franchise go from 56 wins to now being a serious contender in their division, certainly for a wild card spot. They're currently in position to get a wild card spot. They attacked this offseason with a vengeance. They spent money. They brought in people. They paid Bobby Witt an enormous sum of money because they recognize his abilities. He's a superstar already. Who knows what his ceiling is? And here are the Cardinals kind of, in my opinion, Bernie, maybe not penny pinching, but being very careful and working around the edges a lot. There's a big difference in what's going on right now in Kansas City and St. Louis. Is that noticed in St. Louis?
Oh, it does. When I was still doing my radio show, regular radio show, you know, I'd have some people texting us saying, you know, I'm becoming a Royals fan. I'm done with the Cardinals. I don't know if they were serious or not. But to your point, you know, their front office had to deal with the same kind of issues the Cardinals had to deal with. They had to find a way to put a pitching staff together on the fly, and they already had a couple, you know, pieces in place, as everybody there knows, Cole Reagans especially. But, you know, they went out and made some really smart moves with their starting rotation, you know, with Waka and Lugo, and I'm probably leaving somebody out. I mean, they went out and they targeted some guys, and they hit on every one of them. And they also, you know, you look at, you know, they allow less than four runs per game. I mean, their run prevention is outstanding. And when you can do that, then whatever your offense does, you put less pressure on your offense to win the games for you. So they play really great baseball. I mean, I'm impressed by what they do. And I was telling Will Leach, my partner on the Seeing Red podcast, because he was sort of making fun of the Royals, which is okay. I mean, he was just being playful. But I said, you know, since 2014, the Royals they've got more pennants than the Cardinals, and they got a World Series title. The Cardinals don't. And they've won more postseason games than the Cardinals, so I wouldn't be making too much fun of the Royals.
Yeah, these are difficult times, certainly, as for those of us like me, Cardinals fans, you report on them. So you've got an interesting time reporting on this downturn in St. Louis. As Jeff kind of alluded to earlier, I'm becoming more of a proponent of, okay, you got Brendan Donovan, you got Alec Burleson, you got Mason Winn, you got Wilson Contreras. You've got some guys at AAA, Jordan Walker included. He's picked it up a little bit down there. They just brought up Victor Scott, who I still have high hopes for. Tink Hentz looks like a guy. Thomas Segesi looks like he could be a pretty good player. They drafted J.J. Weatherholt with the 7th pick in the draft, one of the highest picks they've had in many years. It looks to me like it's almost screaming out for a little bit of a youth movement. Do they have the wherewithal to really pull that off, to really go that way?
I think they fear that well, listen, they have said this, Bill DeWitt III and Bill DeWitt Jr., they don't believe that St. Louis Cardinals fans like can stomach a long, painful rebuild. And I know what they're saying. I mean, because when I say we're spoiled, that's not a criticism, but they were so good for so long, it's just kind of stunning to see them struggle the way they are. And, you know, I know it doesn't compare to some other markets where the team loses all the time, but that's the point. The standards here are very high, and one of the reasons the standards are really high is because the fans propel the engine. They buy tickets. They sell 3.2, 3.3 million every year. It's amazing for, you know, this market size. So the fans have done their job. They've held themselves to a high standard by supporting the team, and they've done it beautifully. There's more empty seats now, no shows, but I understand that too. And the Cardinals have had a competitive payroll. It's not like they're cheap. My problem with them is they don't spend their money wisely. They make a lot of bad investments. So when I'm just doing my show, and people say, well, DeWitt's cheap and he needs to open up the wallet, he needs to do this. And I said, well, hold on a minute. I understand your frustration, but I don't want them to spend a lot of money because they screw it up when they try to. You know, so how many contracts have gone bad under this regime? And, you know, now you got Arenado's contract going bad. And again, I don't blame them for making that trade, but I'm just saying it turned out to be riskier than we ever anticipated. So that's why whoever runs this front office, you know, you brought up the Royals, and the Royals are a good model. I mean, you don't have to make these huge monster moves that gets ESPN and gets Fox and gets, you know, everybody going nuts about how much they're spending. It isn't like the amount of money you spend. If you just have pinpoint targets and you know what you're doing and you make some buys that would be considered, you know, high value for low dollar, you can turn this thing around pretty quickly. But they screw up spending money. And I get frustrated not only with the fact that they screw up spending money, terrible mistakes. I get frustrated that there's a lot of the fans, I don't know how many, but I hear from them, who want them to spend more money. And I'm like, well, you know, I wouldn't have much confidence in their decision makings on that, you know. So they're in between, you know, Bob. I think that's what sum it up. They're in between. They're not a horrible team. They're not an awful team. They're close to being a contending team. They're close to maybe being someone that can go up a little higher, but you got to make some strategical moves that would pay off. So I don't know. I kicked this around, this idea of a full-scale rebuild. I do. And I thought it's like, here's my thing. If you keep putting it off and, you know, you keep missing the playoffs and your fans have sat through 3 or 4 years where you're kind of a 500 team, maybe a little bit above, a little bit below, well, that's the time you could have been rebuilding. You know, so in other words, if you're going to waste seasons and not get to the playoffs and not win in the playoffs, then why wouldn't you rebuild? You know, I think that's a legitimate question. You see what I mean?
Yep. Good stuff, Bernie, as always. I appreciate it. Thanks for indulging me. I need to talk to you occasionally, and this is like a session at the psychiatrist's office. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, man. Anytime, Bob. You know that. Don't be a stranger.
Right.
You can call me anytime. Thank you. See you.
Thank you, Bernie. Bernie Miklas helping me out a little bit. Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com. Had the pleasure of meeting Anthony. I've watched him on Hot Stove and other MLB Network shows for a while now. Anthony, hello. Welcome.
Bob, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure to meet you yesterday.
Yeah, how was your Bobby Witt Jr. interview? Was he forthcoming?
He was great. Yeah, we've been working on this feature, and good timing because he's decided to stop making outs. But we've been working on the feature where we've gotten to know his family a little bit. Everyone knows he's the son of Bobby Witt Sr., of course, but he's got three older sisters. So the three older sisters are where you go for the real story, the real dirt on Bobby Witt.
Yeah, when's the last time you saw a guy, and I'll get to our stats here. I want to ask you about your experience here in Wichita, but when's the last time we've seen a guy just, he's been a good player his first 2 years, but he's exploded into a superstar. How common is that?
Yeah. It's uncommon. He's still pretty young. It's funny, and working on this feature, you go back and look, MLB Network, we happen to have cameras there on his draft night. And, I mean, you look at him, he looks like a little boy at that time. He still looks pretty young now, but it wasn't that long ago that you know, he was selected number two, and he's done amazing things here in Kansas City already. You know, he had an interesting rookie season a couple of years ago where, you know, he put up these nice round numbers, but he also struck out a lot, and there was some questions about his defense. And then last year, he put all of that to bed. You know, he was terrific last year. And then this year, it's just another stratosphere where, I mean, you're seeing an MVP-type player. If it weren't for some guy named Aaron Judge, it might be a very clear MVP case. And, you know, you talk to people around here, I mean, first true superstar, like nationally known type of guy, since probably George Brett here in Kansas City. So it's just, as a small market guy myself, I'm from Cleveland. You know, I love that. I love to see a guy really assert himself, you know, and commit to a small market club the way Bobby Witt Jr. has, and to make good on it right away here with the way he's played and the way the team's played.
So, Anthony, this is Jeff. I'm Bob's son. So what was the process? Obviously, once the story about the statue became national, it was everywhere and everybody heard about it.
Yeah.
But what was the process within Major League Baseball and you and the people who cover it of kind of building that relationship, deciding, you know, that League 42 was something worth investing in, and even, you know, coming to Wichita for the ceremony?
Yeah, I just think that story was so visceral, like so, I don't know, when you first heard about it, your thoughts immediately go to racism, you know, hate crime, and then you learn more, and it's sad in a different way, and, you know, it's such a heartbreaking thing to see that. I was at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum today, so I got to see the feet, you know, cut off, and just what a jarring, striking thing to see. And to know what Jackie Robinson represents, and furthermore, what that league represents in the city of Wichita. And I think what you guys are doing there, and it dovetails so nicely with MLB's efforts to grow the game in the black community. And I think there's been a lot of lip service towards that through the decades, through the years. But I think you've seen some real movement now more recently with the MLB Develops program. You know, reviving baseball in inner cities has been around for a long time, but I think MLB has really stepped up its efforts in the black community. And, you know, what you've done there with League 42, it's unfortunate that it took this terrible thing to put the spotlight on it nationally, but it's spotlights on it nationally now. You know, it's great to see. And so I don't know, the inner workings with MLB, you know, I'm not part of that. I just know that it didn't take long for the owners to raise their hands and say, yeah, let's do this. Let's support this league and make sure this statue gets put back where it belongs and it's secure. And hopefully that means good things for the league going forward.
Anthony Castrovince is our guest. You can read his work at MLB.com. He's got a really wonderful story about the statue yesterday. And we were all happy to see Anthony and everyone from MLB come out. So you were here, and so were CC Sabathia and others from Major League Baseball. And you mentioned that the directive is to try to get as many kids of color involved in this game. My fear as a longtime baseball guy is that baseball's priced itself out of many households. We see travel teams and so much importance played made in that. So finding these kinds of leagues is more and more difficult. We charge $30 to play in this league. We play in a facility that's close to the kids that play in the league. Why isn't that done more around the country, Anthony?
Great question. And Bob, talking to you yesterday, it sounds like it's something that you had discussed, you know, for years in your columns and your work. And then we're kind of challenged to go out and do it. And, you know, maybe it takes that, you know, and maybe people need to see that it can be done. I think you're a great example that it can be done. When you get the community engagement that you guys have down there in Wichita, I mean, there's a lot of communities that would kind of rally around that. And I would just say that, you know, we've seen a lot of growth in the game here of late. We're seeing youth participation numbers that are way more encouraging. We're seeing youth attendance, youth viewership, you know, all those things are trending up. And hopefully that puts baseball back on people's radar and maybe in a way that it wasn't in the past. And, you know, baseball is a commitment financially, community-wise. You know, you got to have the fields to play. They have to be maintained. That's no small thing. The equipment, that's no small thing. So it takes real engagement, and, you know, it's going to be different everywhere in terms of what communities have the tolerance for that or the finances for that or what have you. But all I can say is, like, I view what you're doing there as a really wonderful example that it can be done. And when you put your nose to the grindstone, it actually can be done, and you can have good outcomes. And that's great to hear that, you know, it's a low bar for entry for kids there in Wichita. And, you know, I walked around those fields yesterday, and it's just it's a wonderful setup. You know, I know it's come a long way in a relatively short amount of time, and that's a credit to you.
So we have Anthony Castrovince with us. We just had Bernie Miklas. He's been in St. Louis a long time. I'm a Cardinals fan. That kind of helped me to talk through my pain with him. Jeff has a question for you, since you're a Cleveland guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know you don't anymore. I don't know if you ever did, being in Cleveland, live and die with Indians/Guardians baseball, but I do. And you have the best record in baseball, but you're on a three-game losing streak, and it's the sky is falling, at least in my brain. Is Cleveland sports, I'm not in Cleveland, I've been several times, but it's just always waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's the experience of a Cleveland sports fan. Is that fair to say?
Oh, that's more than fair to say. And, you know, you just said you are on a three-game losing streak. I am not on a three-game losing streak. I have nothing to do with that. But when they win 22 in a row like they did in 2018, then you can say you. Then you can say that I am on a winning streak. I don't take any part of the losing streak. No, it's always it's Cleveland. It's the mentality. It'll never go away, you know, until or unless they win a World Series and a Super Bowl in the same year, I guess. But, you know, the Cavs championship in 2016 did nothing to get rid of that natural bent towards disaster. And I've been waiting for the shoe to drop all season with this club. It's they catch the ball. They've got a good bullpen. And they put the ball in play, and those three ingredients have carried them a long way. How much further it can carry them, I don't know, because there's some real rotation iffiness that is starting to rear its ugly head in a meaningful way, I think. But they do have, you know, Alex Cobb and Matthew Boyd are in the offing here pretty soon and going to be in the rotation, veteran guys that they hope can kind of
studs.
Eat up some innings for them. And just they have to take the pressure off the bullpen. The bullpen's been one of, if not the best in baseball, but – you know, it's tough to lean on it every single night. They got three rookies back there who have been dynamite for them in the bullpen. But, you know, it's a prickly thing to be bullpen reliant the way they are and rookie reliant the way they are. So so I'd love to see the rotation step up in a more meaningful way and get them some quality innings.
Anthony, we really appreciate your time. I hope you'll allow me to reach out to you in the future to talk Major League Baseball. We love talking baseball here on the show. Best of luck. We can't wait to read your Bobby Witt piece, and we certainly enjoyed your piece on League 42 and the unveiling of the Jackie Robinson statue. Thank you very much. It was great to meet you, and good luck.
It will be my pleasure to come on anytime, Bob, and thanks again for the hospitality yesterday. And yeah, just keep doing great work with League 42. It's really awesome to see.
Thank you, Anthony. Talk soon.
See you.
That's Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com. As we give you a little dose of baseball here in hour number two. Both kind of getting on the couch for our respective guests.
Got to happen occasionally.
And I feel better. Haven't talked to Bernie. I hope Anthony gave you the answer you were looking for.
The only answer is to win. That's all there is. That's...
Well, we love winning, but it doesn't appear that the Cardinals are in store for much of that. And I'm not sure about the Guardians, Frank.
Best record in baseball. Isn't that weird?
There you go. Well, feel happy.
I don't.
As you watch the earth crumble. Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. We'll be back here tomorrow. We believe we have the three-man booth. So we hope you tune in. See you soon.